This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. On a wall outside the Kinley Hotel in downtown Chattanooga, near the Choo Choo, a large-scale mural fills the space for all to see. The hotel describes it as a kaleidoscope of color and shape, painted by Alicia Buckles, known artistically as Alicia Vera, and Bria Gober, a senior on our campus, the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Alicia, Bria, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tell us how this mural came to be.
Before the murals kind of started happening, I did a few for a couple local businesses such as Barking Legs and Collective Clothing, and just casually mentioned on Facebook that I wanted to do more. And with Chattanooga being Chattanooga and the support that everyone has, the right people saw it. And that person was Ashley Parrott, who was the curator of the Edwin and is now the curator of the Kinley. And she came to me and was like, hey, I've got a really cool project. We're building this really cool boutique hotel and it's all female artists. And we were wondering if you wanted to do a mural, but we have someone we want you to collaborate with. And I was like, okay, who? And they were like, Bria Gober. James McKissick had recommended her from Arts Build. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, I love Bria. This is going to be great. And I knew our styles would collide perfectly. So that's kind of how it got started. Knowing the right people, branching out, just seeing what I could get from asking the general public.
Mm-hmm. It has been a surreal experience all throughout. But for James to recommend me when I've never done a mural in my life was a huge deal. But the whole thing, I mean, for us as artists, being in a collaboration is always a little bit antsy or anxiety driven, or, you know, you just never know how you're going to collaborate with other artists or how your personalities are going to mix or what the content of the mural is going to be. We're both very like abstract creative people, but putting two ideas and collaborating it into one, we thought that was going to be the hardest part, but we've had such an awesome time. It's been like the easiest relationship formed. It was very easy for us to figure out what we were going to do and how we were going to navigate that. So it's just been a surreal experience all around.
And this is something brand new for both of you, because Bria, as you just said, this is your first mural. And Alicia, the only other large scale project close to this mural that you have done is your work at Barking Legs.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were both kind of excited, but we're like, how is this going to happen? But we didn't even question it. We're like, let's do it. Let's just challenge ourselves. We'll figure it out. This was just too cool of an opportunity to take even a second to be like, can I do this? We were like, no, we
exactly. We just
do this.
For sure. And what was crazy is that Barking Legs, Ann Law, the owner, she actually let me use her basement as my first studio space. And she had mentioned like the artist in residency that Alicia was actually doing. And Alicia and I had already known each other, but it was just, everything's come full circle. It's just insane how this came to be, really.
And this is a project that from the first was intentional about turning to female artists to create this mural.
100%. And that was the thing that really hooked me when talking to Ashley. She was like, we're really trying to promote this hotel and make it this focal point for female artists. So every piece of artwork in that space is from female artists. And to me, that's huge, that being a female artist myself, working in this community, and not just our community is super supportive, but it's like just overall seeing female artists trying to make it. And over the years, things have changed. Things are more accepting now. And to have that space, a space like the Kinley, to uplift and showcase that many female creatives was huge.
Because it's not just you and Bria with the mural. It is, this is the focus for the art curated for the entire property.
The entire property. So it was shocking for us to be the ones chosen to kind of, I mean, because it's the first thing you see when you come upon the Kinley is our wall. And so we were like, this is going to be a statement piece. And I mean, their motto overall is come as you are. And so it seemed really fitting for us as individuals, I mean, the way we present ourselves, the way our work speaks for itself, Come As You Are really stuck with us. And it just felt like a really good fit between having all females, between having this be our first big gig in this way. We were really wanting to represent that in the truest way we knew how. And by working together and coming up with a design that really spoke to us and inclusivity in a lot of different ways.
And the theme of this, and the theme that this project is meant to convey, is togetherness with female artists creating what female artists can create. And that brings me to grid lines as a way of expressing this theme of togetherness and how that history of grid lines appears throughout the South, throughout art in the South.
Yeah. Since we knew this was going to be our first big project, we wanted to try a lot of new things, which you can see on the mural. There's elements in which you don't really find in any other murals, but we didn't want to take it too far out of our comfort zone. And with anyone who has worked in this realm, you think about how are we going to get that little bitty image up on this big wall? And snapping a grid is like the most basic form of blowing up work. And so we knew we were going to have to snap a grid. But from there, coming up with the content was kind of centered around that grid line. We were like, let's make shapes. Let's make colors. Let's add these building blocks. Because when you think about togetherness as a whole, you think about this community, this family, this entity that is a bunch of things making up as one. And so we kind of played with that idea a bit. But it was really sitting on the intentional like form of female creative nature of grids, females, like how does this work? And I just couldn't stop thinking about quilts. And it's mainly because Bria has a really cool story that kind of coincides with this, and I'll let her share that and then I'll continue on.
Yes. Quilting has been a staple throughout my family. I know women in general, but it's crazy because I've had aunts and my grandmother used to sew and quilt a lot. And my mother, she works for the city of Chattanooga, and there are two quilts in City Hall. And when I was like at the age of 10 or so, I remember they had like an event where they were putting the quilts up. And a lot of the colors in those quilts, I mean, I've grown up with those quilts at this point, translate into the piece. And we also were very inspired by motifs around the city, Alicia's hair, but along with the infamous Walnut Street Bridge, the color of that, and architectural design from the aquarium and pieces in the city. So, yeah.
Yeah, the quilts were like the thing as we were inspiring ourselves and coming across the quilts, we were like quilts in the South, like this female connection to sewing and in the community that's made. And then separating, we went obviously a very abstract version, but this building block, because quilts are these tiny little portions that you sew together in this unique pattern that has this rich story behind it, which isn't always obvious. And so that was kind of what inspired us to create these building blocks of different motifs. We have things that were very Bria, things that are very me, and the community hands, the growth, like things started to just layer up where that basic grid that we were just going to use as guidance became the building block to the entire storyline. So yeah, from grids to quilts to a big, beautiful piece.
Yeah.
There is quite a history for quilts across the South, but they also have a special resonance in the African-American community.
For sure. And that's something that I've just grown up around. So for her to mention a quilt, it was like fireworks went off in my head, because my grandmother was like the one creative I've seen in my life. I didn't really have examples of that in my life. So for her to quilt and sew and do all these things, I was a young child. And now she's deceased, but it's bringing her legacy through and like breathing her legacy on that wall. It's crazy to me. And also because I do a lot of abstract pouring and dripping methods, I just was so unsure of how to translate my pieces onto a wall. I use objects and I pour paint on them 2D, and I use gravity and manipulation with my hands in order to create pieces. So when doing this project, I was curious as to how I would get my 2D pieces that I drip and manipulate with gravity onto a wall, because I can't turn a wall on its side and manipulate it like I would do with a canvas. So doing work with mark making, Frances McDonald, she uses parachute cloth to create all of her murals. So Alicia and I decided to prime and paint parachute cloth, and I would drip and pour on it and then adhere it to the wall. So that was a learning curve for the both of us, but extremely thrilled to have my original work on there, because I love to paint in any form, but that is my go-to, my essence, my niche is to, they call it marbling or pouring paint, creating abstract pieces. And so I'm just thrilled to have that on there.
You have both described this project as divine timing. Tell us why.
I think we'd both say the same thing, as in everything we've done up to this point was training us for this exact project. And Bria stating earlier, like how she also had the same opportunity to do the artist in residency that I did, but she was so nervous that she didn't. And it was like the universe telling her, like, well, you're going to do it sooner or later. Like, it's this year, girl, you got to get it together. And even me, just kind of like, I've always done small pieces. Like, I do like miniature works. Like, I love tiny things, and I've always wanted to work larger, but like, I just, the nerves, I didn't really know how to go about it. And it was just like that divine timing of doing these things that just stacked perfectly to where when we got to this point, it was kind of daunting at first, but it's like, as the weeks went on, like before we actually painted, because this has been like a 5-month process, like the wall looked smaller and smaller and smaller. Like, it wasn't as scary.
It became like a lot more digestible once we got up there.
Yeah, it became like approachable, and like we were very confident with, I was confident with my skill set to be like, I know I've never done this before, but I know I can do this and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And I know Bria's set up to do this. Like, we can, the confidence that came from trusting in the universe, believing that the timing was totally right on this, and just rolling with that. We believed in ourselves enough, and now we're still just like, it's so gorgeous.
In awe. Yeah. In awe.
It's just ready for consumption, ready for everyone to pass and enjoy and take photographs with and just sit in splendor. So yeah, we're all good to go.
All right. Alicia, Bria, thanks so much for our conversation and for creating this mural.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gordon Inman on clarinet from Sonnet, from last year's production of Southern Exposure here in the Chattanooga area. He is also part of the Moon Change Quartet, which will play tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at Chattanooga Theater Center in the premiere concert of the North Shore Carass Performing Arts Series. Gordon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
Tell us more about this new series, the North Shore Carass Performing Arts Series.
The North Shore Carass is going to be a multimedia series. It was billed originally as a little bit more chamber music, and that's probably the lion's share of it. But we're doing chamber music concerts through the Figment Chamber Ensemble and the Counterpoint Trio by Tim Hink, as well as my own jazz quartet, the Moon Change Quartet, the Chattanooga Clarinet Choir, and other clarinetist friends in June. And then we'll be doing another love of mine, film. We're going to do a film series of works by local filmmakers that'll be in early May. All of this will take place on the Chattanooga Theater Center campus.
The chamber music piece, you're aiming to go against the grain of what most people think of when they think of chamber music.
I guess it's a little lofty, but yeah, that's about it. Now, we are doing the first chamber music series is going to be on April 20th. Is going to feature three members of the Figment Chamber Ensemble, and that's going to be all newer music. A lot of it's going to be new to the audience and from around the world. We're going to do a short trio by my dear friend and colleague, Ben Van Winkle, for clarinet, cello, and guitar. We're going to do Natali's Sonata for cello and guitar, or I should say the other two guys are going to do that. We're going to do Sergio Assad's pieces for clarinet and guitar. Assad is an incredible Brazilian classical guitarist. And I had to hunt him down for about 3 months to get that music. I guarantee nobody in Chattanooga has heard that before. We're also going to do a world premiere of a piece commissioned by a Chattanooga-born composer, Matthew Weaver, who's a dear friend of mine from school. He now lives in Nanjing and has done quite a bit of composition on the Chinese stringed instrument, the guzheng. So Ben is going to put down the cello, pick up the guzheng. We're going to do a clarinet and guzheng piece.
How would you describe this instrument?
It is a horizontal stringed instrument that is played sitting down, usually held up by some, I don't know if they're stools, but that's what I think of them as. They're often played by two people, but there are really two different chambers on the top of the instrument. There's one that involves pitch control on a smaller level where you get that pitch bending. And then the other one is a little bit more strummed and occasionally plucked.
There's just a lot of pent up creativity among all of you musicians given this pandemic.
Could not be more true. And we are itching to get out. I don't know, anybody who knows a musician in their life knows that very well. That's every artist, of course, but it's been a year since we've gotten to really completely practice our craft in any real way. With the technology, we've thankfully been able to do, well, what we're doing right now, meeting remotely, as well as virtual choir concerts, virtual band and orchestra concerts, and et cetera, as well as safely distanced smaller concerts, but it's just not the same thing. And I do want to point out, the Chattanooga Theater Center actually has some new ventilation technology that I wish I could explain better, but unfortunately I studied music. But they have been able to safely produce plays in the actual main stage and circle theaters because of this ventilation technology. It's about as approved as something possibly could be. And there have been no COVID-related incidents of any kind. They have, of course, a limited capacity and everybody's wearing masks, which will also be the case for these events, except for one guy on a wind instrument, but he's fully vaccinated. So I really like that we're able to safely open up live music indoors because of this technology. And for anybody more curious about this, if you go to the Chattanooga Theater Center's website, it is laid out quite a bit better than what little explanation I've given.
One lifeline for musicians in this area, for organizations in this area throughout this pandemic has been ArtsBuild.
Yes. ArtsBuild has kept just about all of us sane. For those who don't know, they actually started a weekly Zoom meeting that was originally just everybody talking, supporting each other, talking everybody through what we were dealing with emotionally, and it was just good to see everybody's face. That actually turned into a series of lectures, a series of grant writing classes. It's been an incredibly invaluable resource, and God bless James McKissick and everybody involved in ArtsBuild.
And that's paid off up to and including this series.
As a matter of fact, it has. The Artist's Work Grant is a new series of grants through ArtsBuild that originated in fall of last year. The Chattanooga Theater Center and myself are one of eight participants for the first round. And it involves already existing institutions, organizations, what have you, pairing up with artists, not necessarily from another discipline, but that was very much the case here, to create something new.
Earlier, you mentioned the Moonchange Quartet, your quartet, a jazz group formed during the pandemic. It will be providing the first performance in this series. Tell us a little bit more about the quartet.
The quartet is made up of a clarinetist, myself, Tyler Lackey on piano, who was a classmate of mine at CSAS, and Given Arnold, who was an Eastman-trained bassist, and Nathan Hsu, who's an Indiana-based drummer and just a mind reader, one of my favorite musicians to work with. And our last concert was at Covenant College for one of their formal events. We talked about it afterward, but that really was kind of the first time most of us felt like we really played a concert that felt like the pre-COVID times, that really felt like the full experience. And it was just so incredibly healing. We're going to be doing, jazz can mean a number of things, but we're going to be doing all different styles. I think we're going to do, I need to ask her permission again, but local singer-songwriter Robin Grant has a song that I just really admire that we have covered in the past. So we'll be doing a few different tangentially related to jazz tunes as well.
And where can people go online for more information about the series?
Theater Center, that's TheatreCentre.com.
All right, Gordon, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ren.
You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots from the Isis Theatre in Asheville. This afternoon, we have another set recorded in front of a limited, socially distanced audience in the theatre on Friday, March 26th. We carried an earlier set from this band in January when they played a complete set of songs by Fleetwood Mac. They played a couple of Fleetwood Mac songs this time around. From Western Pennsylvania, this is Gary Antol playing guitar, Libby Eddy on the fiddle, Jody Mosser playing the dobro, Nico Kreider on bass, and Ray Brookman switching between fiddle and mandolin. Everybody in the band sings, but the main singers are Gary and Libby. From the Isis Theatre, this is the Jacobs Ferry Stragglers.
We learned this song last year for a benefit set that we put together to help raise money for a local venue in Pittsburgh. We ended up doing a full set of Fleetwood Mac. We had a blast doing it. We actually did it last time we were here, in fact. And so this is one of those songs from that set. I think the next two actually are. Is that correct, Gary?
Yes.
Yes, I believe so. I hope you enjoy it. This is Dreams.
You lost.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, this is another one. This one was interesting to listen to a whole bunch of... Around last May, I just listened to Fleetwood Mac for like a month. We were trying to figure out what songs we wanted to do, and this might sound strange to say, but it kind of just came down to like... I was born a couple of weeks after Rumors came out. I've been bombarded with that album for my whole life because my mom liked it and everything. And some of them were very difficult to make work as a bluegrass band, you know, because they're a rock band with drums and stuff. And this one we kind of had to do differently. We decided... Not that the original version of this song written by Lindsey Buckingham isn't awesome, but it just should be a bluegrass tune. I got a lot of the words wrong last night. I jinxed myself there at the beginning. I said, I hope I sing the right words. And I did not. On March 13th, we played our last show. I remember that because it was my birthday. And the next day, we decided to do a live stream from Libby and I's living room, right? It turned into a thing. It was like, we do it a lot now. But we found that at that point, we had been like pretty much on the road for about 6 weeks. We've been playing a lot of shows in Florida and everywhere for the winter. We're in our living room and we played with the intensity of a band that has recently been on stage in our tiny living room for like our dog, right? And when it was done, it was just odd to have like total silence in the room. The dog like moved, that was about it. Yeah, we started just going, yippee, after every song. It turned into such a thing that we don't have them now, they're on their way, we ordered them, but we actually have yippee hippie t-shirts now. It's just, who knew?
The straggle is real. One, two, three.
Thank you.
There's five more on here. If we count revenue.
All right. Sorry, we're like, we wrote the set list so small we can't see it.
It says climb. It started big and then
it started big and it just kind of kept small. Is your wall on?
Shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's on.
Well, crap.
Her wall was on, open.
Is that better?
Sorry, y'all.
That was it. You gotta get your banjo thing.
I'm working on it. Well,
you know how you said I can't tell when it's on or off?
That's how
you tell it's off. It's on. All right, Libby's got to get a banjo for this one.
We're going to do a number here that was that is also written by Ray Bruckman. It's on his solo record. He's got one of those available for you this evening. along with some CDs that we have of our own. If you'd like to grab one after the show, I know Ray would love for you to have one. It's got a few of us on in the band on the record, and this is one of my favorite ones on that record. He calls Foundations. This is a song of his called
Back in the Hills of Home. Thank you, Jody.
I swear these were ready when I picked them up earlier.
Our northern instruments are having a hard time in the south this week. Actually, they're very happy to be here. They're just freaking out because it's been very cold at home this winter.
Starts up in the morn, making everyone glad they was born. Back in the hills of home, the old fox hunters on the galleon rise. He's waiting there for me back in the hills of home. Waiting on me with the babe that's mine. Back in the hills of home. Back in the hills of home. The old fox hunter's on the galleon ride. She's waiting there for me. Back in the hills of home.
This is the first time we've been out since January. In January, we played. We were here, and we were in Nashville at the Station Inn one weekend.
Give it up for Nico Kreider on the bass, everybody. He's going to sing you one.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Shadows come and go. Just pay me, no, never mind. Spoiled loan. I listen to my elder. She taught me all I know. Big mash and copper wire where rabbits couldn't go. Revenue man, catch me if you can. I know these hills and hollers like the back of my own hand. Say your prayers and leave your wires still above the ground. Revenue man, catch me if you can. I know these hills and hollers like the back of my own hand. Said revenue man, catch me if you can. I know these hills and hollers like the back of my own hand.
Jacob's Ferry Stragglers
Thank
from
you.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Enjoy your evening. Come say hi. Have a good night and be safe going home.
The Jacob's Ferry Stragglers recorded before a limited audience in the Isis Theatre in Asheville a couple of weeks ago. The complete set with video is on the Mountain Spirit Acoustic Series Facebook page. On listener-supported public radio in Chattanooga, this is Scenic Roots.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.